Hey friends, welcome back to part two, the conclusion of this week's WYFP episode. This is the third episode in this series, and I have to say, I'm already feeling really inspired where this could go. Looking far down the road, I'm seeing how I believe this series could become a really strong part of the network, which is why this week I decided to break it up in two parts. Let everybody hear the bonus content, let everybody hear the full flow of the show, and maybe you might see that becoming a member of the Circle of Trust is something in your future. But even if that's not the case for you, if you don't want to sign up over at AID.network, maybe you'd do us a solid and tell a friend that you're listening to this new series, learning a lot, and finding a once-a-week spot to go to hang out where you can find relatable conversation. Many people dealing with the same topics that you're going through right now or feel like you've gone through or something that you can kind of forecast is out on your horizon. What do you say we could start with part two and conclude this week's episode, episode three of WYFP on the AID.network? I'm going to guess this. Working on DangerBot is now more fun.
Yes.
Because it's not so do or die. So as before, you were really stressed out about like, I don't know, it's a lot of money. If this design doesn't sell or if this show's a bust, because, you know, what I really respected about you, because even though that, you know, you're a funny guy and a Hellraiser, which I love, you also are very dedicated to your wife. And I could tell that when things were falling up short for you, that you're like, I could just see the look on your face. Like, I want to do my part here. You know what I mean? Like, I want to show up and be like, Jess, check it out. It's sick. It worked. And I could see you getting stressed that you were going to have to show up and be like, so maybe this didn't go as I planned. And I understand that fear more than anybody. So I'm sure now that you have the bases covered, now this makes DangerBot fun again, which I think will put you in a better headspace to take bigger chances, to put more of your personality into it. And I think that it could end up being the best thing for DangerBot. And who knows? This could put you in a mindset where next time you go solo, it's doing something that's already established, or maybe it's just meant to run in the background. There's a lot of people at DCon with sick booths doing great things. And when you get up and talk to them, like, well, you know, I'm really work over at Nike and this is just my side. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that make it look like they're hustling all day long, but they get up Monday morning and they drive the BMW to wherever they go for 50 hours a week and it's all on the side.
I feel so bad for those guys that have to wake up and drive their BMW to work.
Aww. What kind of car are you driving, you motherfucker? What kind of car are you driving?
I have a Lexus. And I just bought my wife a Lexus, so we have two Lexuses.
It's such like a shitty nice car.
What?
It's such like a shitty nice car. It's like, it is a nice car, but like shitty people buy it as a nice car. I love that.
Yeah. But it's also, I know you talked about it before, it's that punk rock regret. So like, I wouldn't drive the car to work. Like when I was at my old job back in Chicago, like I was like, yeah, maybe I'll drive, but I'm not going to tell anybody I drove because, you know, then I go, oh,
dude, I have to say,
doesn't have a ride a bicycle anymore.
I have to say in the last, like, I'd say the last month, I've talked to people and I'm like, oh, you know, so, when you go to the park, where do you park at? Like, oh, I park over on the other side. And I'll be talking to them like, you know, and then it'll just suddenly go, I park over there because I got an electric car. And I go, what kind of car you got? And they're like, I got a Tesla. I'm like, why are you saying this like you tested positive for HIV? Like, what the fuck, man? Like, why do creative people feel shame when they do something good? You know who's never felt shame? Biggie.
Never.
Dude, he rolls around in the Ghost with a DVD book of all stolen DVDs from Blockbuster. And I think he's more proud of the stolen DVDs than he is of the Ghost. He doesn't give a fuck.
Hey, I mean, that's why Biggie's Biggie.
Cruise that Lexus, dog.
I do. It's fun.
Cruise it, man. You should wear a shirt with an airbrush on the front.
With just the big L right there. Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think the future holds for you, my man? Like, how do you see the rest of this year folding out for you?
Well, we're going to get the shop up and going. That's fucking doing good. My goal is to, for work, is just to get some customers coming in and out regularly.
Yeah.
Build up the clientele there. And then for DangerBot, I mean, that's kind of what I like, is like these production gigs where I can just run my own shit. So just, you know, I told them when I was interviewing, you know, I've got my own thing on the side. This is what I do. I do a few conventions a year. And now, because I didn't need the job when I went in. So I was like,
that's a good spot to be in.
Yeah. So I was like, so if that's a deal breaker, I mean, we can end the meeting now. Like in the beginning, I was like, this is what has to happen. So,
right.
You know, so they're cool with it. They understand what it is. So, I mean, that's it. You know, I want to do my two, maybe make it up to three big conventions that I do a year. Decon, Five Points, maybe throw in another one in the middle of the year and just work, you know, just kind of do my shit.
Well, I would say this so that you don't get caught in a trap with a day job. Mm-hmm. Keep putting those conventions in your calendar. Mm-hmm. Tell your job right up front, like, oh, just so you know, like, I, you know, even when it's real early, like, hey, I just booked myself for something in November. And you're like, why are you telling us this in June? Well, because I want it locked in with you guys, because, and this is what you tell yourself, is when those are on the calendar and you've booked the airline and you booked the hotel, or, you know, you've paid for the convention booth, you will find the time to make more stuff. So the convention is a way to keep you honest to yourself so that you keep making, because you're like, well, I'll feel so stupid if I go to DCON with everything I had last year. And in my mind, that is the best way to keep a guy who's working real hard, 40, 50 hours a week. And you're like, got my new kid. I want to hang out with them. I want to see how they identify with their gender as they get older. And I want to spend in that quality time. So I'm maybe not going to go design t-shirts, or I'm maybe not going to stay later at work and print stuff. But if you put that in the calendar and you commit to it, you now have created a deadline for yourself. So make sure you keep those going if you want to keep DangerBot growing.
Yeah, that's good advice. Really, the way I was thinking about now is, you fucking pay for the booths, because what I'm doing now is I'm buying premium booths, you know, better.
Like, they're always worth the money.
Yeah. So now it's like, oh, fuck, I just spent, you know, a G on a booth space. I got to fucking make that money back. So let's, you know,
start designing. Let's make some stuff happen. Well, good to see you, man. And you, the topless look looks good for you.
I'm moving on my boobs.
You got a hell of a rack on you. Moving across the state over to Manny. Manny, what's going on down in Miami, brother?
Well, if Rob is in Tampa, he's like right above me. Is he still Tampa Rob?
He's still Tampa Rob. He's burned his bridges in the other 49 states. So he's stuck. I mean,
he's
in Florida.
Looking like Florida man, so that helps.
He looks like either it's kind of like, it's either a Hell's Angel or an overweight Jesus. I can't tell which one it is, but it's somewhere in the middle of the two. But both is a good look. Manny, work your way out for me. You are a daytime, full-time employee, but you're also a really great illustrator on your side. What do you feel trapped in, my man?
Okay, so I'm going to reach back in time to when I was doing cons and doing freelance full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point in there where it stopped being fun,
mm-hmm,
and it stopped growing, and that was me trapped, honestly.
So what happened first? Did it stop being fun first, or did it stop growing first?
It stopped growing.
And then the lack of growth made it not seem fun anymore.
Yeah, because I was so focused on the growth.
Yeah,
like I was seeing my friends, you know, hit higher highs cons and all this stuff and all this stuff. And it was killing me, because I was putting a lot into the stuff and it stopped being fun. So like we took a couple, it was like 5 or 6 years ago. My wife was my partner. She wasn't making as much, she wasn't making stuff, but she was like, you know, a hell of a roadie and like awesome behind the table and, you know, that pretty smile and a welcoming smile when I had my head buried in commissions that I was doing at the table and stuff.
Well, she was all of those things for you, but who your wife is in my life is she's the woman that introduced me to the best way to make popcorn, because I for sure went and bought that little microwave popcorn daddy, and holy shit, is that thing awesome.
I appreciate that. I gotta ship you guys that mojo thing for your chicken wings. Wow. for summer.
We'll try it out. So when you're in that zone of seeing your peers kind of just start to take off and take off and take off.
Yeah.
Here's a problem that happens here is that, and I know this from back in the booth days, it's like when you're making money and you're happy and you're exuding confidence, you just sell more, 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 more. But if the day's going wrong and you're kind of feeling down, you can't get it back. And I remember the worst weekend of our life. Our dog passed away Sunday night. And then that Thursday, we were on a plane to San Francisco to do Renegade. We had to do that Renegade because that's how we made money. We went out there and everybody was coming to us like, oh man, I saw you guys lost your dog. I saw you lost your dog. And so we're trying to just like move on, go on with your life. And we were standing in the booth, sad as fuck, not feeling good. And we just projected our own failure, right? Because our mind wasn't there. So we are the people that sort of are the arbitrators of our own success. And it is really easy to feel sorry for yourself. It's really easy to see what other people have that you don't have. And it's easy to let that sadness become a projection and you start to become your own enemy. And that is a cycle. As soon as it starts, you got to find a way to quit it. And that's why, sorry to plug in the middle of your part, but last Thursday's episode with Mike Brevik, where he talked about whenever he's kind of feeling down or doubting himself, he does a project for somebody else just to get his mojo back. And we started talking about how he makes the websites for the different comic artists. I thought that was such great life advice. Cause you know, a lot of times we hear punk people tell us something, but like a corporate guy who's doing corporate logos and stuff, be like, I have self-doubt and this is what I do to get over it. Like you got to get over that as fast as possible. So anyways, go on. I just wanted to one, identify what you're saying so other people could understand it. And two, give you a bit of relatability that feeling sorry for yourself and feeling like your friends have something you don't, it is completely fucking natural. And everybody tries to ignore it. Everybody tries to fight it. And here's the thing. Everybody feels it. Just some people hide it better than others.
Yeah. And when you're in it, when you're in that deep, you don't see, you can't see, you know, anything. What I started figuring out was that my path at that time, at least, was to start taking more client stuff. My friends in particular were doing a lot of comic book shows.
Yeah.
And as fun as they were, nobody was really making anything. They were making a lot of IP swipe stuff and I love my friends, but I didn't see a future there. So, I started focusing more on the client side and it was good for a while. And that led me to where I am now, which is, you know, full-time Jones at a company that I actually really like working for.
Great.
That really appreciates the skills that, dude, these are skills that I honed not just in freelance, but at doing the comic cons and doing, you know, live art stuff there and doing all this stuff there, the quick sketches and the concept stuff and the being able to like, you know, I get handed a Mickey sometimes and I have to break it down and turn it into something else and that sort of stuff. And it's all skills that I learned there. And that was fun. And
that's awesome though, that you were able to harness, you know, what you enjoyed, what you like, and now you find a place that appreciates it and lets you put it to use. Let me ask you this though, so that we can give people a little bit of shining hope. You were doing, you know, what your passion was. You kind of had to retool things and you ended up taking a job, which some people somebody who right now is trying to make their own gig work, we're like, I don't want to take the job. I see that as failing. But you've just pointed out to us how it was actually a way of winning and winning back your self-esteem.
100%.
Yeah. So at this moment now, when you do stuff for yourself, where is your self-confidence at and where's your pleasure at compared to when you were doing it all the time for yourself?
When I was doing it all the time for myself and that was rent money, that was a particular low point. Last year, partially with the help of the AID, you know, Slack guys and the guys that I met through actually joining the community.
Yep.
I started like relaxing a little bit and stuff, and I'm comfortable enough with the full time that I call it playing golf, what I do on the weekends. And I just started taking taking the time that the pandy handed me, mm-hmm. and I started just relaxing and doing collabs with people with Enone and just, you know, not interested in the other stuff. That let the day job do what the day job does and hand me a nice paycheck, and I'll worry about, you know, making myself happy and stuff. And the folks that where I found happiness this year, I think was kind of interesting. Somebody pointed me at an account on Instagram called The Clink Room, and something that has always been a passion for me are sports mascots. I'm not a sports guy. Right. I appreciate what VG does and all that stuff, but I love sports mascots. I love food mascots. And this place was running a contest. I don't love contests, but I was like, it's a target.
Right.
That's what I need. Right. I need a target. I need a goal.
Right. I get that.
So this in January, I started doing a mascot a week and a design a week for hats, basically. Like, looking at all the stuff that I like and all the vintage mascot stuff and all the new school stuff and just coming up with stuff. I started like raiding my old sketchbooks and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And I have never in my entire, I would say 20 years as a professional, been so crazy embraced by a community from go. These people would find me and just like dig what I was putting down. And it was nice because I wasn't desperate anymore.
Yep.
It wasn't for the cash. And right. it is hard to tell somebody who is drowning in debt or poor and needs rent money to not worry about the money. But I can tell you that the poor, like, what do you call it? Poor summer?
Oh yeah.
Broke summer.
Broke summer.
Broke summer is a thing. Broke summer is a thing, and it's a mood, but it is so worth it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. When you were doing this exercise, a couple of things. By creating this exercise for yourself, you took a lot of the thinking out of it, right? So you no longer had to be like, what do I want to do? You just said, this week I'm doing this cool little rhinoceros, but wouldn't it be rad if I did this, you know, like little donkey wearing a hat that I saw someplace, you know? So like, you're just stacking up the projects, you're making a list, you're going through life. And now, you know, when Bobby Dixon was on the show and he talked about, you know, he takes a photo of every time he sees 23 because he loves Michael Jordan. And so now that he's aware of the number 23, he sees it all the time. So when you set up this template for yourself, you're now seeing mascots where other people aren't. And you're collecting a list. So now the thought process has been removed. So you've already got that part out. And you're just working and working and working. But because you're doing it for yourself and that happiness is exuding and showing through, you're building self-confidence. So it's getting more fun. The work is getting better. And now you're completely the opposite of the guy who was inside of the trap, right? And now you can take this, that you've laid this foundation down, and you can keep doing it for fun, or you can turn it into something else. But the great part is that you set up something for yourself. You did the follow through. And you had fun. You got better. You found people that know who you are. You made buds through it. So it's a complete win, and you're absolutely right. Because you're not doing it for rent money, it's a completely different thing. If you got laid off during the pandemic, you're like, I'm going to do this to try to make money for my family, you would have been so fucking nervous.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have worked out the same way, which kind of gets to the joke that I was saying earlier about Mike Mitchell. There's something about when you don't need something, the world's like, you want this? I'll hand it to you. But when you're starving, you can't find a crumb to save your life.
Yeah. And a lot of it comes back to what Artie was saying, like being picky about the jobs that you take. And, you know, it has to be, you know, it has to be hammer level, crazy, intricate for him to be. For it to be worth it and stuff. And if your kid, like you were saying, if a kid drops the bowling ball in the bathtub, I mean, not my problem. I mean, there's guys out there that'll fix that problem, but he's out there to make something
right.
to make something at his level,
right.
you know? And, right. and that confidence, you know, has led to some real interesting stuff for me this year. And
that's great, and, man.
And including actually, cause I still do this when you interview somebody new, I will DM them and say, thank you for being on the show. And I appreciate, you know, I like what they had to say and whatever. And Mike was one of these guys. And, I can't say much more yet, but he and I had a Zoom call.
It doesn't surprise me.
This last week,
he's literally the nicest guy in the world. And after the second episode this morning, I saw somebody new joined the Circle of Trust. I looked over, and it was Mike. I'm like, oh, welcome to the fam, Big Mike. And actually,
yeah.
I've been talking to people that have been on the show recently, and I explained to them what this series is. And both Edmonston and Mike have agreed to be co-host on one of these. So
nice.
After we get over the hump and sort of get the format figured out, I will eventually be having different people sit in the number two chair. And so they'll be unmuted the whole time, and it'll just, you know, make it for a wild conversation, and, you know, just get different viewpoints, different advice, different perspectives. Cause you know,
that's it'll be interesting to see if Hammer runs one of these, like what that would look like.
I'm not having any fun as an artist, and it hurts me so much. Like, he'll just troll everybody, because as people have pointed out, Hammer has become the new heel on Hammer Time.
Yeah. He needs to do it in a Fiverr t-shirt though.
There was a scam he was trying to work on you guys, but it just didn't work out, where he was trying to get Edmonston to do some artwork, and then he was going to claim to everybody that he only paid $5 for it over on Fiverr, but we just couldn't get it to line up with Edmonston's crazy life. Manny, good to see you, bud. I'm going to go around the room here and talk to some folks that have been on. Tony, you weren't on episode 2, but you're on episode 1, so I want to make sure to say hi to you. Always love interviewing Tony late at night, because eventually when his room gets dark, he looks like Phil Collins from some of those old videos where you just see like the... Yeah, there it is. There's the Phil Collins. What's going on in the world of vanilla, brother?
Oh, the usual. I just want to say it's really good to see my boy Robert. He, believe it or not, was the first friend that I saw outside of this pandemic. Both of us got our vaccines.
If Robert was the first person I saw out of the pandemic, I would immediately go fuck somebody that had COVID and just try to get out of life in general. Like, I would just be like, where do I pull the ripcord here? I'm done. Like, that was, Robert was your return to humanity? What's the matter with you?
Yeah. Well, his beautiful wife was there.
If those kids are in here, they got to get Circle of Trust memberships. You're too short. Hi guys. How you doing? It's Uncle Bricky. Don't do what I do.
Yeah, this isn't the Disney podcast. No, so.
She's partying. That the little one loves to party. Anyways, people at home can't see that. So Robert was your return into humanity, which is interesting. But what else is going on, bud?
Just been working and trying to make it to the next Disney trip, because life is these days.
Listen, it's to just, this guy.
When am I the most happiest? Oh, it's when I'm at Disney.
I hear you. I'm only happy when I'm at Disney and when I'm cutting myself. Don't listen to that, kids. So let me ask you this, Tony. Give us a corporate trap, because you illustrate on the side, but your day job is you're in corporate America. Give us an idea of what it's like on the other side of the fence, because I'm so fascinated by it.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, I work for a vanilla extract company. They've been around for over 100 years here just outside of Chicago. I work in the customer service department, and basically my role is to handle any and all sort of discrepancies with my company. So that's my corporate gig. Mark's putting on his invisibility blanket, I see.
But trying to impress Artie's kids. Anyways, that's distracting. Go ahead.
No, good.
And you know, it's the cloak of invisibility. You know the name of it. It's not an invisibility blanket. What am I, Linus? Sorcerer Harry Linus?
He's got
Hey, don't ever confuse me with that little creep. I hate Harry Potter and you know it.
Yeah. So that's my gig. I work in customer service for a vanilla extract company. It's It's not super demanding. I'm really good at the job. Everybody's happy. But it is one of those things where since the pandemic started, they were very cool and they got everybody laptops and we were able to start working from home immediately. Now, a lot of people are kind of burnt out on working from home, but I personally love the Obi-Wan Kenobi hermit lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever been able to work from home.
Yeah.
This was made for me. It's tailor made for me. I don't want to go back. It's going to happen at some point, but if I had to name like one big trap, I would say it's the getting too comfortable trap, which is you are like somebody like me where you're, you know, nothing is really hard. Nothing is really easy. You're just even Stevens in the middle of the road. But also like kind of knowing that you're not fulfilled, right? Like there is something missing.
Right.
And as much as I can go to Disneyland or Disney World and have a really good time, that anxiety of coming back home and being like, oh shit, I have to go back to work. I have to read all these emails. I have to deal with all this stuff.
Right.
That decompression of like coming off of one of those highs is hard to deal with.
Do you get the Sunday scaries?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. Not so much right now. The summer is usually pretty quiet, but the fall is when people bake the most. So that is when the most vanilla complaints come in or stuff like that from our customers. So fall, winter, that's when I'm busiest and that's when I'm the most stressed out. So that's when I really get kind of, quiet, and I just kind of will deal with the work, and then that's when I'm able to usually at least get one last trip out before the end of the year, and then I'm kind of in my happy space. But yeah. I found to get out of that trap to kind of to make myself feel better. Yeah, I do my art stuff on the side, and this pandemic, I did a whole series of like. Now this is the first time we've ever had a full Bill and Ted trilogy. There's three movies,
right?
And the other Tuesday was Bill and Ted Day. And the whole time this pandemic, I was doing a series of characters from each movie. And I think I did like, I don't know, six or eight pieces. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, there's a Bill and Ted Day. I didn't even know that. I'm going to post up all this stuff that I did during this pandemic. And it felt really good. Like, cause I didn't do it with that in mind. I just did it because I love the movies and I enjoy drawing. Mm-hmm. And that was my way of like escaping just the repetition of being at home, waking up at the same time, logging in the computer. It was just every afternoon or sometimes during the weekends, I would just draw.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was my little trap I had going on.
Drawing makes the brain go away, right? Like when you are illustrating, all you're thinking about is illustrating and maybe whatever you're listening. But I've never had the bandwidth to illustrate and also contemplate my life and my future. Like I love illustrating because it makes everything go away. It is perfect escapism. But backtracking to what you said about feeling complacent or feeling safe, I remember you confided in me one time, I think I can talk about this, that you got a call from Big Caramel. And Big Caramel was wanting to bring you on. You're like, I don't know, man. I've been in the vanilla game for so long. What could Caramel offer me? And remember what I told you? I said, maybe it's time to switch it up. Maybe Caramel's where your future's at. But go back to Big Vanilla and be like, look, man, I'm thinking about making a flavor jump. What can you guys do to keep me? And that's how Tony got his raise, by playing Caramel against Vanilla. And well played, Tony.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. That was a really important conversation that we had, and I'm glad you guided me through that. And because my dumbass was like, "Oh, I'll say chocolate, and chocolate will be the chocolate doesn't get you anywhere. It's the caramel."
No, chocolate's like Nike and Disney. They know people love them, and so they're just like, "You want to work for fucking chocolate, right? Like, we don't need you. You want to be a part of chocolate? Like, chocolate's just fucking arrogant as fuck. But these other flavors, yeah, you know, you can." I say Caramel is like the Patagonia of flavors, right? It's family operated. They care about everywhere, you know, because it's just not everywhere. You know, it's a little bit more niche, a little bit more cottage. Well, Tony, always good to see you. Wrapping up today's episode just briefly, because I want to say hi to everybody. I'm going to say hello first to Greg, who was the MVP of episode 2, who actually took a call from me while he was laying in bed with his wife at 3 a.m. over in, I don't know, Australia, New Zealand, one of these make-believe countries.
Hey, Australia only. New Zealand, boo.
So how's Friday, Greg? What's Friday like in the future?
Yeah, Friday's good. I've just been crushing orders at the job I was talking about the other day.
Yeah, are you in a basement?
Yeah. I'm in the warehouse, yeah.
Oh, it's a warehouse. Okay, I was trying to figure out what that ceiling was above you. So you've just been packaging orders? Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, just packing and listening. Yeah, it's been good.
Well, good to see you, man. And once again, MVP for taking the call in the middle of the night, like circle of trust, ride or die. The other MVP of episode two, Dylan, you got a lot of praise for opening up. And I think people expect that from me because it's kind of the job that I took upon myself. But when you were like, hey, Bricky, I'm in the same boat with feeling weird about, you know, reading and grammar problems. So you got a lot of love, which I hope that's what the series becomes, is that, you know, of course we can have fun and goof around and it won't always be, you know, like hardcore topics and stuff, but when it does go that way, I was appreciative to see people give you some love back and thank you for opening it up. So thanks for doing that, bud.
Yeah, well, I came back today to talk about our teeth. Now
talk about our what? Teeth.
Our terrible teeth.
Oh god, don't get me started. That's the other fucking next topic. Yeah, that's the other weakness, man. fuck I so
me
badly
too, man.
Oh god, don't get me started on the fucking teeth. We talk about teeth Friday on Hammer Time and anyways, well, good seeing you, man. And yeah the fucking teeth. I still, like, if I eat corn on the cob in front of you, that means I really fucking love you. You know what I mean? Like, that means I really respect you, because most of the time I won't eat it anywhere. And Robert from Chicago for real looks like a serial killer now. So we'll go ahead and end tonight's episode saying hi to Dave. Dave, what's up, bud?
Not too much. How are you?
Good, man. Just wrapping it up, and really crazy long production day, but excited that we got to do this at a different time slot and talk to everybody. And I'm feeling good about this series. It's downloading a little low. It doesn't seem like the general public's into what we're doing, but hopefully some people can share it and talk about it, and people can come to find that it's a different format for this genre, and people will come to see it as a good place to hang out once a week. I agree, Mark. You're doing such a good job. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it, man. You're always there for me. I appreciate it.
Sorry, Mark.
That's all right.
Sorry. Brooks threw something in the chat because I'm wearing Brooks's hoodie.
Oh, I was wondering if that was one of Brooks's there. VG designs.
It is. It's actually one of my favorite hoodies of all time.
Yeah.
Because that heavyweight material, and then the graphics are pretty awesome. So
somehow even this episode became an advertisement for Violent Gentlemen. I have to find a way to invoice them for it.
You do. Charge them double.
And Tony also said, hopefully Edmondson gets the beavers to stop gnawing on his internet cable so he can join us. Edmondson's connection's horrible, and I know it's horrible. And this time I just said, you know what? I'm not even going to say anything to him, because everybody knows his connection's horrible. And if I say something to him, then he's like, well, hold on, let me go downstairs and try to restart it. And he's so busy. For him to give us 90 minutes was a lot. So I'm like, I don't want to burn 20 minutes of him just still having shitty internet. So, he did explain to me, though, that the power is on the way. So allegedly, somebody ran a fucking coaxial cable up to the North Pole, and he's going to be in the fast lane with the rest of us. So, everybody, hope you enjoyed episode 3. On behalf of Brian Baim, Tony Mendez, Greg from the middle of the earth, Brooks, Ingle Nowhereland, Dylan Goldberger, Artie Moreno, Robert Shirtless, Dangerbot, Chicago, Tampa Rob, Manny from Miami, and David Gallo laughing his way all the way to his new home and somewhere far, far from Seattle. We call him Edmondston West. Thank you so much to everybody for listening to the third episode. I hope you had a good time, and I hope I see you back here next week. There you go, friends. We just concluded our third episode in this fun little series. Wanted to make it free for everybody this all, so people can just kind of get a better idea of what we're doing Wednesdays, typically over at the AID.network. I want to let you know also, if you want to be a part of the conversation, and I hope that you do, please consider going to AID.network, becoming a member of the Circle of Trust, become one of the co-hosts, show up, talk about the topic at hand, or show up with your own topic. We haven't really gotten there yet in the series, but what I'm hoping is that with putting enough of these down, with enough mileage traveled with this theme, that some people might be like, man, I am stuck. I want to talk to the buds. I want to figure out if I can get some perspective. And when those people start showing up, asking those questions, I think that the doors are going to blow off the barn, because this will be where people can go once a week and just hear straight up real talk. Because, you know, I'm not going to let a bullshitter bullshit this bullshitter, right? We're always going to get straight to it. That's why the name of the show is WYFP. We need to know exactly what your fucking problem is. I want to thank you so much for listening. I want to thank you even more for considering becoming a member of the Circle of Trust over at AID.network. This series will continue next Wednesday and every Wednesday that the show is live. So thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you caught part one and part two. Thank you even more for telling a friend about this new series over at the Adventures in Design Network. You can find us online at AID.network. Thank you to all of my Circle of Trust co-hosts for coming on, for sharing, for taking it seriously. And like I said, I'm excited to see where this grows. I'm excited to see where people go with bringing up their own topics with their own problems as this gets further and further out. And I'm also looking forward to the dumb questions. I'm ready to take on the Bricky. Would you rather fight Dracula or Frankenstein? And the answer is Frankenstein, because he's just an old scientist. But Frankenstein's monster, that's a whole other character that a lot of people don't exactly know. A lot of people get that confused, but I'm way into horror, so I know all the stuff. So maybe you'll show up next week and ask me a question about one of your favorite horror properties, because I've seen them all. I've lived them all. All right, friends, I'll be back here tomorrow. If you decide to show up, I'll be here too.